The Department of Agriculture has been accused of having an allergy to science over its failure to publish any academic justification for the proposed ban on training dogs with e-collars. Senator Ronan Mullen has called the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, to publish scientific evidence, if he has any, and challenged him on why the department has failed to reveal the results of a public consultation it carried out earlier this year. Senator Ronan Mullen is with me on the line. Senator Mullen, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, explain e-collars. I understand they work by creating an aversion in the dog's mind to approaching livestock. Is that right?
That's exactly it. And look, I'm speaking as somebody that loves animals. I've, dogs at home. It's one of the great joys of my life to walk with those dogs. They're pretty safe dogs. And I'd be, very much against any kind of cruelty to animals. But the issue here is, which is more cruel? The use of a mild deterrent pulse or stimulus, which is about 5 millijoules. You're talking about something like the bicycle lamp, far, far, far less than anything that we would know from agriculture, like an electric fence, just a minuscule fraction of that kind of power. So this is in no sense to be described as giving a shock to the animal. These are devices that are used for training dogs that have a high predatory instinct to keep them from attacking livestock. And the science shows that it works. The science shows that it doesn't affect the welfare of the dog. In any event, it's far better to be doing that. As I said, which is more cruel, to be using these devices in a controlled way and in an expert way to create this aversion in the dog to attacking or to going after livestock, or like you have in Wales, according to police and insurance data, where there's a ban on these devices, and you have 4 times as many attacks on livestock and 3 times as many dogs being shot as a result of those attacks than you have in neighbouring England, where there isn't at this point that ban. So the minister has had advice from an animal welfare committee within the department, and that's fine. There was a consultation. I challenged him, and in fairness to him, he extended the period for the consultation earlier in the year. But it appears that it is still his intention to bring in a regulation that would ban the use of these electronic training collars. And he is doing so without having revealed the results of that consultation. And what I'm doing is I'm calling for him to show us the evidence. And in fact, I'm asking the chairperson of the Agricultural Committee, Jackie Cal TD, to use the forum that is the Agriculture Committee to let the public hear from about the science of what it has to say, and from the different stakeholders, from animal welfare people, from animal owners, from farmers, from vets, from scientists, who can tell us, do these things work better than reward only training, like giving a biscuit to a dog? And the science appears to show way better, that there's no sense in talking about reward-only training when you're talking about high prey instinct animals, dangerous animals. And you're there in Kerry, and will have heard many times about the devastation that has been caused.
Yeah, we've had several high-profile and several devastating attacks over the last couple of years on livestock here, particularly sheep. Now, just so I understand, because an announcement was made by the Minister of Agriculture in May, which was a decision to ban the use of remotely controlled electronic shock collars on dogs and cats. Yes. That's not what you're talking about, is that right? The e-collars are different?
No, it is. These are these e-collars that we're talking about. And like, just to be clear, they're not talking about banning, for example, the perimeter fencing arrangements that keep a dog, for example, within.
Yes, that's what I meant. What I meant was that this is something that keeps a dog away from leaving your property, going out onto a road, and that's in case it starts pinging if the animal goes close to it, that keeps them within the boundary.
Yeah. And there's no proposal to ban that, but what it should be said is that these electronic training collars don't involve any stronger stimulus than that involves,
So why are they described in, and I don't know if you have the answer to this, but when the government announced this in May, they described them as shock collars on dogs and cats, and they're now banned. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, they're not banned yet, but they're proposing to ban them. And I disagree with the term shock, because I think that's a bit of spin to try and to try and kind of create and maintain public support for this on the basis that none of us is in favour of cruelty to animals. What the experts say is that these are not cruel when they're properly used. They don't have to be used on a continuous basis. There is a training period for the dog, and the expert trainer will apply this pulse so as to get the dog to create an association in his mind between the instinct to run after livestock and chase them and worry them and attack them and this discomfort, this temporary discomfort that is applied in that moment. So the aversion is shown to work so that the dog doesn't have to have the collar on after a while. He now has the aversion to going after livestock. And what has been pointed out as well is, you know, people say, look, the answer to this is let people keep their animals on leads when they're going for walks. But we know that doesn't work. First of all, as people get on in years, animals can be very hard to control on a lead. Secondly, it's not the natural thing to have an animal on a lead, for example, if you're taking an animal for a long walk or whatever, a country walk. Yeah. And thirdly, despite introducing massive fines up to £40,000, I think, in Scotland, where, for example, animals are let out of control and do damage, it doesn't actually work, you know? So, you see, my concern is this, and I think this comes down to a lot of issues these days with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government. Who are they listening to? Do they listen to ordinary people? Do they listen to stakeholders? Are they upfront about publishing and showing the information that they're getting in from experts? Or is it government behind the scenes where certain people have access to power? In this case, there's an advisory committee that it has been advising the minister. Yeah. And the question is he only listening to those? Like, the proof of the bona fides of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government, that they're actually in touch with people and that they're being transparent about what they're doing, is if they would say, okay, we've had the consultation, now we're going to publish the findings of the consultation.
Yeah, so that's what you want. You want to find out what the Advisory Council on Companion Animal Welfare, which recommended, several organisations are part, have members on that, and they've highlighted what they say are welfare problems these collars can cause for animals. You want to know exactly what they're saying and what their justification is for proposing this ban.
Yes, but in addition to that, I want to know and I want to see published the information and the submissions made by all sorts of other different stakeholders. You know, when this consultation was originally announced several months ago, it was almost behind closed doors. There was a small little reference to it on the Department of Agriculture website, and you hardly knew it was happening at all. So I went into the Shannon and I called on the minister to extend the period for consultation and to publicise it more. And in fairness, he did extend the period for consultation. I want to see now what that consultation showed, because that was an opportunity then for people to bring forward the science on this. And there are people who are, for example, people who are animal welfare people themselves who do not want to see this happen. They don't want to see this ban on these electronic training collars because they say that the result of it will be more attacks on livestock. And more dogs being shot as a result.
Let me ask this, Senator Mullen. You know, you talk about the responsible use of them. You talk about the proper training period. Mm. You talk about creating this aversion in the mind of the dog, that they won't go near livestock. That might be fine for the expert trainer or for the responsible dog owner, but what about the irresponsible dog owner who doesn't care, who may use these e-collars indiscriminately and be cruel with their pets?
And nobody would support that. And that's where I feel this. The blanket ban is what I would be opposed to. I have no problem. In fact, would support, you know, the careful regulation of who may use these. And not just who may use them, but which particular devices. There are undoubtedly dodgy devices out there that may or may not, you know, have the same, if you like, safety and quality guarantee about them. So let's by all means regulate which devices may be used and who may use them and when and in what circumstances. That I would completely support. That's a way of ensuring, you know, allaying people's concerns about animal welfare, but also leaving the possibility of these devices being used by responsible trainers in place so that we can ensure that there aren't actually more dogs ending up being shot and indeed, you know, horrific attacks on sheep and other livestock going on as well as a result of out-of-control dogs.
That is a significant part. So, look, you're looking for a response from the department, from the minister this week, I take it?
Yeah. Yes, and I have also asked the chairman of the Agriculture Committee to take an initiative here and say, look, let's hear the evidence. Let the public, you know, the great thing about the Oireachtas is everybody can tune in and see what's exactly been said. So it would be a great opportunity for the Agriculture Committee to say, let's have hearings on this issue and ask the minister, don't take a step here until the public has been allowed to see and hear from the various stakeholders and experts who will have made submissions to the recent government consultation. Otherwise, it's government behind closed doors, it's certain committees having access to power and other stakeholders being completely ignored, including scientific experts, if that's what suits a government agenda.
Okay, Senator Mullen, listen, a final point, and on a separate issue, we're learning that the Cabinet is discussing today details of a soon-to-be, or today published, I understand, a five-year plan for RTE into the future, 400 staff being cut over the next 5 years. The salaries of top executives will be published. You have talked about this in the past, and you were moving legislation at one stage to link, yes, RTE's top presenter salaries to public sector pay scales. What's, yes, your view on where things stand now? And would you be happy to keep paying your television licence fee, or when are we going to get this answer as to who's going to pay for RTE into the future?
Yeah, look, I believe in public service broadcasting, but there's serious reform needed at RTE, and I would be very afraid that the government will let them off the hook in the end. You're right, I did bring forward legislation last year saying that salaries should be pegged to public service pay scales. I've no problem with people being, you know, decently paid, but the type of celebrity payment that we saw, you know, completely out of kilter with the realities of the market, it was an insult to the taxpayer. So I do want to see controls. I have strong reservations about the TV licence. I think a lot of people, for other reasons, who feel their values are not being fairly treated in the media, we're constantly preached at on a range of social issues by everybody from Oliver Callan to so on and so forth. I don't like the idea of state-funded broadcasters using their position then to shoot off their own opinions on a range of issues. So in addition to kind of the financial controls, I would also like to see more ethical controls, new standards around fairness and balance and objectivity in the presentation of news, current affairs and culture issues.
If you get all that, would you pay a licence fee? Would it be taxpayers' money or a licence fee?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. And of course, if it becomes taxpayers' money, people have no choice at all in the matter. And you have the revenue chasing them then to get the money off them if they do it that way. So I'd be very kind of slow to go that route, you know. At least with the license fee, people have a choice not to pay it, you know. Now, if they have a television, they're required under the law to pay it. But I know quite a few people who said, no, on principle, I'm not paying for it because I'm not happy that RTE is actually respecting, you know, the broad public. You know, there's a lot of talk about other countries where, you know, the government has control in the media and so on and so forth. Like you hear Viktor Orban's Hungary, you know, being recently criticised for, you know, packing the control of broadcasters. That may or may not be true. But, you know, I'm often watching TV and radio, and particularly RTE, and I just say, there's a whole lot of issues that the media, not only local media here now, but national media. I should give you an example. I'm and others are raising serious concerns about surrogacy legislation that's going through the Dáil at the moment. Many people throughout the world are concerned about this legislation about surrogacy because it exploits poorer women in poor countries. The government are getting this through. They have a huge majority in the Dáil and in the Shannon. And one of the reasons it's happening that they're, you know, it hasn't gone through the Shannon yet and we're challenging it. But there's a whole lot of human rights abuses arguably involved in this. But the media, the national media on this issue is the dog that doesn't bark, because there's a whole lot of human interest stories and high profile celebrities who've been using surrogacy, and nobody's talking about the poor women who are exploited.
Who you feel are being exploited.
In poor countries. Okay. Indeed the children that have been deprived access to their birth mothers and breast milk forever, indeed, and on one of their genetic parents. National media on this issue has not barked, and when the media doesn't do its job, politicians get away with murder. And I would say, in any reform of RTE, I want to see new standards for serious objectivity so that journalists do what they do best, which is to ask the hard questions of all sides.
Okay. All right. Senator Mullen, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us about that. If you have a view on that situation, the Senator Ronan Mullen there asking the Department of Agriculture, the Minister of Agriculture, to roll back on his proposed ban on PPE collars for dogs because he feels it will lead, as he's saying, in Wales to an increase in attacks on livestock. What do you think? Would you support the use of them? Have you used them? Do you think they're cruel, or do you think they're a key aid to training pets and keeping them under control and away from livestock? Give us your thoughts on any of that.